Lord, we give you the fellowship tonight.
Amen.
We pray that by your word and through the Spirit, you will enlighten us.
Amen.
And give us a spiritual understanding to fully know and apprehend your will.
Amen.
Show us what you're doing today.
Amen.
Give us an understanding.
Amen.
To enlighten the eyes of our heart.
Yes.
We pray that all the saints will be clear and
Amen.
That the anointing will answer every question of our heart.
Amen.
Amen. We give you the meeting tonight.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So we go back to the last page, preparing for the coming age of the kingdom. All the signs today, as we have seen, the signs of times shows us the Lord's coming. Right, concerning the tetrad, concerning the nation of Israel, we have seen that since 1948 until today, it seems that the last sign is going to be fulfilled soon. The last three tetrads, which are so important, in 1948, 1967, and now it is 2014 and 2015. So all of these tetrads have something to do with the nation of Israel. Even the last tetrad should have something to do with the peace treaty in the Middle East. Also something to do with the nation of Israel. So, may the Lord really open our eyes to see this is a wonderful sign. And then you have the sign of the nations, right? The times of the Gentiles. And we have seen in this wonderful image in a dream of Nebuchadnezzar, all the way from the golden head to the stinking feet. Really, I'm not joking, because the head is golden, then as it goes down, it degrades. From gold to silver, from silver to bronze, from bronze to iron, from iron to clay. Right. And that's why the Lord told his disciples he only need to wash their feet. Right? Not their head. Because Peter says, well, how about my head too? The Lord says, no need. It's the feet that are dirty. Because the feet touches the dirt of the earth. Right? So, we are at the age where everything is so corrupt, evil, perverse. So many terrible things. Today's age, as Mo brought out, is almost exactly the same as the age of Sodom and Gomorrah. Right? The immorality is really so corrupted almost to the uttermost. And here in the States, they legalize the gay marriage. This is really the crown of the Sodom and Gomorrah. So, you have to see, my goodness, you know, amazing. It was, I think, last year that president gave a speech to the graduating class of the University of California in Irvine, and in that speech he says, the most progressive achievement of this age, you know what he says? Is the legalization of the gay marriage. Goodness sake. And that is definitely his legacy. Do you want to have such a legacy? I wouldn't dare. You'll be burning in the lake of fire. How can you, in such a speech given at the University of California to the graduating class, and that from the mouth of a president, that this is the most progressive achievement of the age in our century? Something is wrong in the head. Yep. Must be very dark. This is the foot. The stinking foot. Right. And so we are coming to the end of the age of democracy. Liberty is not for you to do anything. Right? You're misusing liberty. Freedom. Freedom is a wonderful thing. Even the Lord has called us to freedom. Galatians told us there, chapter 4, it was in chapter 4, to freedom has God freed us and called us. Only, Paul wrote, do not use your liberty as an occasion for the flesh. It's wonderful we live in a free country. But that doesn't mean that you're free to do anything. Right? There in Florida just a few weeks ago. Right? This is the Christmas time, right? So they're putting for the Christmas parade, and somebody put a sign of Satan somewhere there in the midst to provoke. Well, you don't have the freedom to provoke. And you know what a journalist said? This is a free country. We have the freedom to offend you. Oh my goodness, what about my freedom to shoot you? That's freedom, right? I have the freedom to do anything. Oh, this is not freedom. This is lawlessness. What kind of a freedom are you talking about? Democracy? It's almost like demonocracy. Sounds very similar. So you have to see that today we are really at the end of this age. Whatever you call it, doesn't matter. People can do anything. Right? You can do anything you like, and I can't criticize you, otherwise I am intolerant. Right? You're free to do anything. Free to shoot the policeman. And now the policeman is not free even to arrest you or touch you. Oh, what kind of freedom is this? You tell me. Right? This is a decay. Degeneration. This is perversity. Distorted. Warp. Do you have any other suggestion? Any adjective? You can use all the adjective to describe the situation of this age. So corrupt. Even the media. The media is supposed to give news, not lies. Now people are talking about fake news. My goodness. It's not a news anymore if it's fake. It's lies. It's lies. You don't have the freedom to tell lies. People call CNN corrupted news. What? Network. How about that? And nobody tells the truth anymore. You don't know whether the news you heard is true or not. So So next year, 2 years from now, people can write any news they want in the internet. And so you would know what is true and what is false. Guess. True or false, you have to guess. So we are at the end of the age of democracy, like our brothers shows here in the slide. This is also a sign, and you have to know that the coming age is even the most stinking part of the foot, the 10 toes. Sorry, am I describing it too clearly? Well, and this is the worst age. That is where the great day of the wrath of God will begin, where the beast will appear. Terrible beast. Right. Looks like a lion, so fierce. Looks like a bear, tearing things apart. Looks like a leopard. Right, a combination of all the fierce beasts. That's what Revelation tells us. And it's a man. We're no longer men. We are like beasts. Can you imagine? Right. So much violence. Terrible as in the days of Noah. Right. Everything is just terrible. So, again, we have the signs of the times among the nations. You can really see today. Right. And then we have the signs of the age of the new covenant coming to an end. And here we can really see the most important vision in the book of Revelation is not about the beast, okay? You have to know, but the beast, I don't like to know the details of the beast, how many teeth he has, and how many horns. It would be terrible. But the most important vision in the book of Revelation is concerning the church. What would you prefer to see? The 7 horns or the 7 churches? 7 golden lampstands is the only thing that's positive, actually, there in a vision. Right? In the book of Revelation, what would you like to see? The 10 toes? 7 heads, 7 horns? Or the 7 bowls? Or what would you like to see? The 7 trumpets? The 6th seal, the 7th seal. Do you like to see those things? Those are not very pleasant. But the most wonderful, pleasant vision in the book of Revelation is what? 7 golden lampstands. The churches. And the Son of Man walking in the midst of the churches. This is a very wonderful, positive vision. And the churches are supposed really together to become the bride of Christ, the new Jerusalem, heavenly Jerusalem. Right? This is actually what we are longing for. This is what the Lord is longing for. Positive, but unfortunately, the Lord knew what happens even to us Christians. There's a degradation. So you can really see already in all the 7 churches, the Lord has not much good to say. You read it. Here the Lord told them, I have something against you. You left the first love. How many? All the Christians believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Do you believe in the Lord Jesus? Of course you do. How about you? Do you love him? You do. How much? The question is not whether you believe or not. Well, you believe. The question is not if you love him or not. Well, that's still not a question. The question is that the best love, the first love, the best? Because he's the Lord. He's our dear bridegroom, we have been singing, right? The dear bridegroom. Suppose the bride doesn't love the bridegroom anymore, or her bridegroom in the relationship fell from the top to the middle somewhere. How about that? Will you be happy? Oh, at least she still loves me a little bit. Is that adequate? No, 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 no. So the Lord told the church in Ephesus, I have something against you, very serious. You have left your first love, your best love for me. Now, if you lost the best love, that means you must have loved something else more, right? So, what do they love more? They love the world more. So, Pergamos. Behold, per means see, behold. The word gamos in Greek means married, marriage. Right? You have monogamy, you have polygamy. This word gamos means married. Right? Behold a marriage, but it's a different marriage. Now it's a marriage between the church and the state. Then all of a sudden the church became a state church. You're married to the world. Another marriage took place here. Right? So here up to this very point, I don't want to go into more details now, but this is an important point where now the church was accepted by the world. Before in Smyrna, the world persecuted the church. Smyrna means myrrh, suffering. Well, at this age here, right, before the 4th century, the church was persecuted by the Roman government, by the Roman emperors. History tells us there were 10 very serious, terrible persecution of the Christians. Now, since AD 313 to this time, beginning with Emperor Constantine the Great, all of a sudden, he embraced the Christian faith and made Christian faith to be the state religion. So, from this time on, the world comes into the church and the church comes into the world. So, at the very end, you don't know anymore, is it the world or is it the church? So, then gradually it develops into the Roman Catholicism. That's why the church becomes a Roman church, no longer a heavenly church. Becomes a Roman. Since when did the church become Roman? Right. So, you have to realize here, my goodness, from this time on, all the way to today, here, look at the Roman Church. Politically powerful. And Revelation chapter 17 tells us she was riding on the beast because she ruled over the government. For 1,000 years, the Roman Church rules over the kings of Europe. You better read your history. Right? So, this In Revelation chapter 17, the Lord calls a harlot, the mother of harlots, Babylon the Great. Right? Mixtures comes in. She became great. She became powerful. Even today, she is the richest organization in the world. You think the Lord wants a rich church. And the richer you are, the more corrupt you become. Right? You read your history, you can really see how much corruption here. And the Polish Pope, for the first time in the history of the popes, that Polish Pope admitted openly, and it is in the newspaper, yes, the Roman Church has murdered so many Christians in the past centuries. Yeah. Ask your Pope. Ask your Pope. Right? So, and they believe in a flat world. And he was the first pope who confessed the church was wrong. Galileo was right. Is the world flat? Well, at that time, if you believe the world is wrong, yeah. So, Thyatira, you have Jezebel there in Thyatira, a woman, Jezebel. Very strange, Jezebel means chaste, the name. But she was everything but chaste. Jezebel, that name in the history of Israel, is a terrible, terrible, terrible woman. Terrible woman. Right. And now she appeared in Thyatira, so here you can really see that. So from here until here, until today, this will exist. This three section in the history is over, but this one will remain until the Lord comes back here. We are almost up to here. And then the Lord, by his mercy, used Martin Luther, 500 some years ago to start a reformation. Actually, Martin Luther had no intention to leave the Roman Church. He didn't have any intention to leave. But there were so many things that are terrible, terribly wrong. So he wrote it in, I don't know how many theses now? Huh? 99? Huh? 95 or 99 or 95. And post it on the door for everybody to read. And the Roman Church wants to kill him. But it was God's timing at that time to bring his people out. Right. So the kings in Germany there protected him. Otherwise, he will lose his head. Anyway, at this time, the Reformation started. And that's the name Sardis means the remaining ones. A remnant, a remaining one came out. So here in the Reformation, but the Lord told Sardis, you have a name that you are alive, but you're dead. So the historian did say that the Reformation is a child born dead. No life. No life. Right? So, and then the Lord says, I did not see anything completed. Right? So, they didn't go on with the Lord. And so you have this line here. Right? So from here to here is almost over 500 some years now. Right? 1517, and now it is 2017. How many years? 500 years. So that's long enough, right? 500 years is long enough. Now, then at this point in time, in 1727, there's a movement. A movement to fulfill this line of the building, recovery of the church. So from here, you go up here, and then, from 1517 to 1727, 200 some years, right? 210 years, the Lord started to recover the line of Philadelphia. Firstly, with the Moravian brothers in 1727. But that's only the beginning. So the Moravian brothers, in a very short time, became just like a part of the Reformation. It didn't last very long either. And then, how many years later? 100 years later, you have the Brethren movement in England, the Plymouth Brethren. Right. And the most famous one was John Nelson Darby. Right. So they had a wonderful beginning, really a wonderful beginning. And the Lord raised up many of the brothers here in this time who search deeply into the Scriptures. So many of today's proper, at least, more scriptural doctrines in the theology of the evangelicals came from the brethren. You have many good brothers here who love the world. The word, I mean, not the world. Sorry, brothers. I apologize to the brethren. No, they didn't love the world, but they love the word. Just like what the Lord told Philadelphia, because Philadelphia is the positive one. The Lord did not rebuke anything. But the Lord warns them, you hold what you have. Otherwise, you will lose your crown. Somebody's going to steal your crown. There is a universal thief going to steal your crown. So, the brethren, 100 years later, you can really see there's a wonderful movement. And so this line is going upper, going up into the very, what? Proper standard, right? What the Lord really wants from the very beginning. Unfortunately, the church fell. And so now Revelation shows us the Lord is going to recover, going to rebuild what is fallen, what is lost. Right. So here is the dark ages, because there's no more light. The light is gone. Now the Lord is recovering, restoring, rebuilding. He's not going to give up to build up his glorious church. The Lord wants a glorious church, holy, without blemish. Right? It's actually the heavenly Jerusalem that the Lord is building. But unfortunately, 20 years later, 30 years later, the brethren fell again. They started to fight and argue about the knowledge of the Bible, the doctrines of the Bible. They got into interpretation, and your view is different than my view. And not long after, they became Laodicea and say, right? Because if you only have the knowledge of the Bible, even a good knowledge, then It's not adequate. So they will not fall into here, into this line, but then Revelation told us there is the last church called Laodicea. Yeah, you know, if you have too much knowledge, you become proud. And you think you're rich. You think you don't need anything. Right? But it's not a matter of knowledge. It's a matter of substance and reality. So there's a very serious danger if you are just staying in the line of knowledge. Right? You will fall into this line of Laodicea. Right? So, another 100 years later, and in between, we don't have to write down so many other things. You see, the Lord is using different people to really recover not just the doctrines, but the spirit, the life, the spirituality, the experience. Right? So by 1927, but then they all fell into this line here. By 1927, through the brethren in China at that time, because they didn't have so much of this tradition here. The Lord used these brothers here, especially Brother Watchman Nee, to recover the so-called local churches. Right. So from 1927 to 1937 and 47, my, right, you can see the churches really flourished. But then after that, the communists took over and destroyed almost everything. Right? But today in China, if you go there are still the local churches, and they call themselves the old local churches. I visited them. 他们叫做称自己说是老地方教会, followers of Watchman Nee. But they are dead, no life. But they think they are good, they think they are wonderful. They think they have the proper right knowledge. So again, they fell into here. And of course, in 1949, a lot of believers fled, especially to Taiwan. And the local churches started to flourish in Southeast Asia. But now it is our time. We are part of that. And we know, my goodness, it also became strange. Right? Don't think we will not become fallen. Just because we have more knowledge, the Lord has opened up more of the scriptures, that we will not fall just like many of them fell. And we experience a lot of things. Right. Especially beginning in the 80s, 1980s, right, to 1987. My. 1927 to 1987, 50 years later. You know, you were there in 1987. My goodness, so much corruption. And again, there's a degradation. And then a pope appeared. Not a Roman pope now, but a local church pope. Wants to control everything. If we are no longer living in the reality of the truth, that's going to happen. So what happened is, again, in 1987, 88, 89, 90, at that time they even changed, and a very strange doctrine came out. They said, God became man in order that man can become God. My goodness, these people became gods. Of course, the Mormons believe they can become God. Jehovah's Witness, the Mormons believe they will become gods. Right? So, if this is 2014, okay, we must be somewhere here, right? I hope so. Right. If this is 1927, 50 years later, 1987, right? 1977, 87, 97, year 2000, we're probably here now. I hope we are coming also to the end. I really hope so. Yeah. We must be. So, before the Lord comes back, you have these four choices. You're going to be in this line. It's up to you. It's going to be fully destroyed, okay? If you're going to be in this line too, it's also going to be fully destroyed. If you're going to be in this line, also it'll be gone, okay? Where do you want to be? The only one that is legitimate will be here. And if you are here and you're faithful, then you go up. Zion. This is now the end stage of the Lord's building here. And right here at this point, the Lord opened up the book of Hebrews to us, that a church is not built with man's hands. Everything that is built with man's hands, I don't care how capable you are, how good you are, it's not going to work. And not built by man, it says. And not of this creation. Remember those verses. And who alone can build that church? Yeah. Christ himself. Who is the architect? God. Who is the maker and builder? God. Is it earthly or heavenly? Is it Roman, American, German, Jewish, Greek, Chinese church? No. It is the heavenly church. Whatever is built by man and controlled by man, made by man's hands, I tell you, hopeless. The Lord is going to shake everything away. You better believe that. The Lord is going to shake everything away. Let us go to Hebrews again. And I really thank the Lord for this wonderful word in the book of Hebrews that he showed us. Beginning in chapter 8, verse 1. Now this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have a pastor. No? A high priest? How high? Very high. Higher than the heavens. Right, George? Right. Not pastor, not elders. We have a few elders. No. No. A one. We have one high priest who is seated where? In Rome. In Vatican. On the throne in Vatican. No? Oh, in Pliny's Inn somewhere. No. Seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Amen. 在天上，你不认识他的话，你有问题。You have to know him who's sitting on the right hand of the majesty in the heavenlies. A minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which brother so-and-so erected. Who? I tell you, if it is not built by the Lord himself, it is not a true tabernacle. If it is man-made with a human system, human authority, it's not going to work. I don't care how capable you are, how much experience you have, blah, 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 you know. You have a wonderful resume, you know. A wonderful resume. As long as it's earthly, it's going to be burned away. Right. A minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord erected, and not man. I don't care which man. You know, we like to boast in men. People like to boast in Martin Luther, and boast in Wesley, and boast in the Pope, and boast in I don't know what, the pastor so-and-so, and so-and-so, and so, and I hate my name sometimes. Yeah. Right. The Lord erected, and not man. Right, and then chapter 9 also, right, verse 11. But Christ came as a high priest of good things to come, who is a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. What kind of hands do you have? Angels' hands? Heavenly hands? What hands? Man's hands, sorry, not qualified to build the church. Yeah. I don't care if it's a Nigerian man or an American man or I don't know, a China man, whatever man, as long as it's a man, it's no good. You can do so many other things, but you cannot build this true heavenly tabernacles, okay? Not qualified, sorry. A German man, right? if you're a German or whatever man you are, it doesn't matter what man you are. You'll be full of germs. All men are fallen, full of germs. We are all germ men. Not qualified to build the true heavenly tabernacle. My goodness, we better see this. Because whatever man can build will always be ending up here. I don't care how high you climb here, you will still fall down to here. If you don't believe it, we wait until the Lord comes and we all stand before the judgment seat, and then let him decide. Let him decide. Right. With a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation. Oh my, it's even harder. No human hands, and not made by men, and not of this creation. And what are you going to do? You tell me. What are you going to use? What materials? What means? What ways? What methods? So if we are at this point, you better know how the Lord is going to build his church. is a golden lampstand full of oil, fresh olive oil. And it's even called golden oil in Zechariah. Where are you going to get golden oil? A lampstand full of gold. Fully made of gold. Pure gold. Can we build such a lampstand? Who is capable? Right. And then in verse 24, for Christ has not entered holy places made with hands. My goodness, again. How many times does he have to say that to you? To get it into your head and into your heart. But into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Yeah. Oh Lord, if I would read it in positive in verse 25, that he should offer himself, of course not often but once for all, but we need to enjoy and prepare him all the time. Right. And then we go to chapter 10. Well, chapter 11, let's go to chapter 11 then. Right. What is Abraham looking for? What is Abraham looking for? What? He was waiting in verse 10, chapter 11, verse 10. He, Abraham, was waiting for the city which has foundation. Whose builder and maker is Jacob. Moses. Elijah. Jasmine, you want to be an architect. What are you going to build? Heavenly tabernacle? You want to build the city of the living God with foundation? Only God can build this city. Amen. Yep. Oh Lord, whose builder is God. And then we come to chapter 12, verse 22. You have come to Mount Zion, to Warner Road. And near Euclid, to the meeting hall in Fountain Valley. To a few saints here. How about that? No, you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God. Not the earthly Jerusalem, but the heavenly Jerusalem. To an innumerable company of angels, to the festal gathering, the church of the firstborn registered, not by the city of Fountain Valley, but in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirit of just men made perfect. And chapter 13, verse 14, and here in Fountain Valley, we have no continuing city, but we seek for the one to come. Which one? The heavenly one. How about that? You need to see this. So if we are here, if we believe that we are here today, then God must show us how he's going to finish his building work and how he's going to build it. A lot of teachings, even the best teaching, is not going to do it. We went through it. We went through it. So today, the Lord will have to open our eyes to see how He's going to build it and who is going to build it. So without Him, impossible. Impossible. Ah, Lord Jesus, where is my last page? So we come to point D here in page 6. Building up the true heavenly tabernacle. Number one, not built by man. Praise the Lord. And not by man's hands. And not of this creation, but by Christ. God being the architect and the builder himself, you really need to see this. If you ask me, then what are we going to do? You need to seek out this living God. You need to experience him day by day. You need to gain him, not just for yourself. You need to know him. You need to be fully one with him. Yeah? There's no other way. If he's the only one who can build a church, then I have to be with him. Right. And then point number two. Strictly according to the heavenly pattern shown to Moses. There's a pattern. You cannot build it by yourself. Out of your, I don't know, fallen architectural mind. Sorry, Jasmine. I'm glad you changed your major. So I'm just joking. Huh? Right. I mean, we are not capable. We are not. After so many years in the church life, 我投降了。 我告诉神说神啊，我们是一无所能，一无所有。 I told the Lord, I surrendered. I have nothing. I am not capable. Absolutely not capable. I have to come to you in everything. People say, you're nothing. I say, yeah, amen. Praise the Lord. You can do nothing. We don't need you. Hallelujah. I don't even need myself. Doesn't matter. I'm glad. You just confirmed. You're right. I always will tell you. You're right. You're right. You're right. Are you anything? Can you build a church? No, neither can either. So, the two of us. I have a good brother here. Yeah. If you don't realize this, then there's no hope. There's no way. Right. So you really need to ask the Lord to show you the heavenly pattern. And where are you going to see the heavenly pattern? It is already shown to Moses. But people don't like Moses. Some people say, we don't need the Old Testament. Unfortunately, they call the scriptures the Old Testament. That's why they say they don't need it anymore. No, the Lord calls it the Holy Scriptures. And the Lord says, my words will not pass away. And when he said that, he meant the scriptures here, from Genesis all the way to Malachi. Every iota will be fulfilled. Now, if you ask the Lord, Lord, how are you going to build your church? The Lord says, go to Moses. I already showed him. Read. Read Exodus chapter 25. But I don't believe it. I don't like it. It's too difficult. Well, then don't build anything. If you want to build, then build according to the heavenly pattern. And the Lord told Moses very, very strictly, see that you do everything and build my tabernacle according to the heavenly pattern shown to you on the mount. And Moses was faithful. That's why Hebrews chapter 3 told us Moses was so faithful over the house of God because he did exactly everything according to what God has shown him. There was none in the scriptures more faithful than this man Moses. For us and for you and me, when I read, I get a headache when I read Exodus. So many details, and I'm so confused. After reading Exodus one time, I have already headaches. After two or three times, I'm already dizzy and not knowing. You want to be a good architect? Read Moses. Read Exodus, beginning in chapter 25. See how much you like it and see how well you really can understand. And see if you could follow every details that the Lord has told Moses to do. If you have never even read Exodus or just read it once, you think you know how to build a church? And even if you understood, then where are you going to get the materials? And then you only have man's hands. And today we are building a spiritual one. That's why it's not by man's hands. During the time of Moses, yes, you need man's hands. But in the new covenant, you don't need man's hands. God doesn't want your man's hands. Because you're doing a lot of terrible things with your hands. Then you're going to come and build a church? Right. Strictly according to the heavenly pattern shown to Moses. Now let's take a look quickly in Exodus chapter 25. Right. You don't like it, it's up to you. Right? Go home. You don't have to read it. 25, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering of all these materials. That means you have to bring it to the Lord and do it cheerfully, willingly, from everyone who gives it forcefully. No, willingly. So if you don't like it, the Lord doesn't want it either. You give it grudgingly, the Lord will return it to you. He says, keep it. I don't want it. Yeah. So the Lord told Moses, only from those who give it willingly, okay, don't you really put pressure on people to do it. I don't want that thing. If it's not given willingly, the Lord doesn't want it. Yep. Everyone who gives it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering. Praise the Lord. Amen. Even how you give, it is important for the Lord. The Lord, it says, he loves a cheerful giver, not a grudging giver. If you grudge, don't give. Keep it in your pocket. Put it in the bank. Whatever it is, don't give to the Lord. The Lord is not going to take it. Now, this is the offering which you shall take from them. Gold, silver, bronze, blue and purple and scarlet thread, fine linen, goat's hair, ram skins dyed red, badger skin and acacia wood. All these materials. Of course, at that time, these are from the earth, earthly materials. But now, to collect these materials in the New Covenant age, it is a heavenly material. The real gold, real silver, real precious stones, but heavenly. Not physical stones. You know what Paul says, right, in 1 Corinthians, how to build a church with gold, silver, and precious stones. He doesn't mean gold from, you know, the Federal Reserve. Silver, gold, here signifies really something that is very precious. It's the most precious metal, signifying the very life and nature of God, which is most precious. That's why everything that is of God is like gold. His word is more precious than gold. Right? Sweeter than honey, more precious than gold. In our faith that God has given us, right, will be tried through fire, that it'll be more precious than gold tried in fire or silver. Everything that is of him given to you is just like gold. That's why in the book of Revelation, the church is symbolized by a golden lampstand. That means it's divine, it's heavenly. Where are you going to get this gold? It's not a gold in Vatican City. I don't know if you've been in there. Not advisable. Right. No, not physical. How about silver? Silver in the Bible signifies the redemptive work of Christ because, hey, this is in the scriptures. The redemptive silver. Yep. Right. And a slave. If you want to buy a slave or redeem a slave, how much? How many pieces of silver? 30 pieces of silver, exactly what Judas got for betraying and selling the Lord Jesus Christ. It's written in the Bible. Poor Judas, doing such a terrible, evil work only for 30 pieces of silver, my goodness. If I were Judas, I would tell the high priest, 30 million. Take it or leave it. Anyway, he had no choice because it's written in the Bible. Judas should have not done it, right? But he is so greedy and covetous. He would do such a dirty work for 30 pieces of silver. No wonder he hanged himself. Oh Lord, but here we need the real silver, the redemption. Redemptive work of Christ. And then, of course, the bronze. In the Bible, bronze signifies judgment. The Lord's feet is like burning brass in the book of Revelation. Right. So wherever he went, he will judge whatever is not righteous and correct. So, for a building at least, basically you need gold, silver, and bronze. Right. And then it says here you need acacia wood. Acacia wood is an incorruptible. Some translation had a note there saying incorruptible wood, referring to the humanity of the Lord Jesus, which is incorruptible. Our humanity is corruptible. The termites love, the worms love our humanity. Tastes good. Yeah. But the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ is worm-free, termite-free, corruption-free, yeah. Pure and holy. It's wonderful humanity. But our humanity, no, it's no good. Just a little temptation and you already fell. Just a little bit of problem and you already have fired up. Just a little offense and you're already angry. Just a little bit different than what you think, you already start to criticize. Just a little bit of I don't know what, and you react. And you make something out of nothing. No wonder we are full of problems, full of corruption. And the more you have, the more corruption there is. Oh my goodness, power. What did people say? What did you learn in school? Power corrupts. And what? Absolute power corrupt absolutely. Right? So, don't go for power. Oh, in the church, I'm positioned, I am an elder, you know? Don't you know I'm an elder? Do you know? If somebody meets me, I say, hey, praise the Lord, I'm Elder John So. And what are you?
Brother of the elder.
So corrupt. You see, you're right. He's absolutely right. And she's the daughter of an elder. And you're the grandson of an elder, the sister of the elder, and the brothers of an elder. Goodness sake. At the end, everybody has to listen to you. And then at the end, you end up calling the Pope the Holy Father. He is anything but holy. And he is not your father, okay? You have been praying, Our Father who is in heaven, right? Yes. Then why you call somebody your father there? Well, how many fathers do you have? I already told you the story, right? One time I was in Rome, and the brothers, for the first time they went to Rome, they wanted to see the Pope. And so it so happened that day the Pope was going to appear. We went in, waiting for the Pope. Everybody was asking me, John, when is he going to? I said, I don't know. But I'll ask around. And there was a British lady. I didn't know he was British. She was British. So I asked her, excuse me, ma'am, do you know when the Pope is going to appear? And she was offended. You mean the Holy Father? I said, no, I mean the Pope. She was offended. I'm offended too. What do you mean, Holy Father? If he is your Holy Father, he's definitely not my Holy Father. And when he appeared, the only difference is we're wearing ordinary clothes and he wore some purple and scarlet or whatever color, like in Revelation chapter 17. Nothing special. I wonder why everybody likes to see him. I don't know. celebrity or something. Well, you need a lot of gold because, hey, only this acacia wood for the building up of that tabernacle. You need the humanity of the Lord Jesus and then overlaid with gold. Because only the humanity of the Lord Jesus is qualified to be overlaid with gold. God is not going to overlay me with gold with a fallen humanity that is so corrupt. The gold won't stick to my corrupted humanity. But that wonderful heavenly gold will definitely stick with the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why the Lord says, if you see me, you see my Father. I and my Father are one. Right. There are many things we can say about that. So this is why in building the church, what is more important for the Lord is the material. Do you have that material or you don't? If you ask people today, especially these people here, it's called the local churches. You know why they use the word local? Because there's so much for locality. Why are you the church? Oh, one city, one church. I used to believe that. I still believe that. But not in a way they believe it. You know, when a church is built by the Lord himself, then it's naturally one city, only one church, because God is one. But if you cut him off and now it is man building it on the principle of one city, one church, it means nothing. It means zero. Only if he builds it, then of course it's one city, one church. But if you just take it as a principle, that doesn't make you a church. Why are you the church? One city, one church. Goodness, and now there's so many division of that one city, one church, and now there are quite a few groups that standing on one locality claiming one city, one church. So which one is the real one? Which one is the real one? First come, first served? The original one? That's why I asked Mo, how many local churches are there now in Toronto? One city? Huh? Six. You're up to six now. Oh, my. Which one are you? Which one is the real one? Ask the Lord. You're right. Maybe none of them are, because it's not built by the Lord. We need much gold and much silver. Right. Much gold and much silver. The gold used in a tabernacle is about 1 point some tons. But a silver is 3.5 tons about. More silver than gold. Now you explain to me why. Because we need salvation. A lot. That's why the Lord has to save us to the uttermost. And we need to gain the wood, the acacia wood, the humanity of the Lord Jesus. This is why you need to experience Christ as the meal offering. Without honey, without leaven, full of the Holy Spirit. mingled with the Holy Spirit, anointed with the Holy Spirit, baked, and then full of the power of resurrection, because our humanity is dead, so full of death there. So you need a lot of what? Frankincense. And you need salt, seasoned with salt. And you need to go through all kinds of baking, all kinds of sufferings, just like the Lord Jesus, the Lord went through. We are shy, suffering shy. Just a little suffering, you're ready to run away. Right. We need that kind of humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. You talk about one city, one church. Oh, my goodness. I know there's a certain group there somewhere in Europe says, hey, we are going to build here according to the principle of one city, one church. If you don't agree, please don't come. How about that? I don't care what principle you're building. If it is you, we can forget it. Right. So these materials are very, very important. Judgment, we need the Lord's judgment. You think you don't need the Lord's judgment? Let me ask you a question tonight. Oh, our time is up. I'll continue tomorrow in the second meeting. Let me ask you one question. How many times have you experienced the Lord's judgment in your life, every day in your daily life? No judgment. You must be perfect. You must be perfect. Because the Lord doesn't need to judge you, right? Right? How many times do you judge yourself? Because Paul says, if you judge yourself, then you will not be judged. I always like to judge others, right? Right? How about you? The same. We were brothers. We're brothers in the flesh. We're the same. We're all the same. But if you will not even judge yourself, how can God judge you? You always judge others. I always judge others. You always judge others. And we judge each other. We should learn to really receive the Lord's judgment. Tell the Lord, Lord, judge me now. I would rather be judged today than to be judged at your judgment seat, okay? Or would you prefer to be judged at a judgment seat, Brother Mu Chang? No. Better now, right? And better tell the Lord, Lord, I judge myself, Lord, I'm wrong, sorry. I really repent. I judge this. I hate this. Lord, save me. Otherwise, you're going to be judged. I'm not kidding. You don't have much bronze, do you? Gold. How much gold? In Laodicea, what did the Lord tell the church in Laodicea? Come. Huh? Buy from me what? Gold. Gold. Tried in fire. That means pure gold. Even if it's not pure, then it's not good. Because there's so much mixture. But the Lord's gold is tried in fire to get rid of all the mixture. Gold doesn't come pure. Then it has to go through fire, then it's 99.9. Otherwise, it's 99.9 mixture. All right. This is a divine heavenly gold. It's not only 99.999, it is 100%. And silver. Tell the Lord, save me to the uttermost. Save me to the uttermost. You want to experience Christ? Then experience his salvation. Yeah. Then tell the Lord, Lord, save me. Save me especially for myself. My flesh. My terrible habit. I know my mind needs salvation, Lord. My heart needs salvation. Save me from covetousness, idolatry. Right? We need to be saved from so many things here. And if you're not enlightened, you will not know what you need to be saved from. Gold. No. Then what else? After bronze, you have blue thread. Blue. What is the color blue stand for? What is blue? Red, white, and blue. What is blue? Haven't we not the saying, red, white, and blue sky over you? No? Didn't learn that in school? Oh, well, tonight you'll learn. That means blue is sky. The sky. Heavenly color. You need blue thread. What is your favorite color? White. How about blue? But white is also important because white is the linen. The very base of the inside covering of the tabernacle is white, and it's white linen, pure and bright. You're right. I agree with you. But is that the only color? You should have more than one favorite color here. Then it's blue, heavenly color. Or are you brown? No. We should not be earthly. The first man, Adam, is of the earth, earthly, made of clay. But the second man, Christ, the last Adam, is the second man from heaven, is heavenly. And Jerusalem is heavenly, blue color, like this. Tonight you have the right color, I have the wrong color. I have an earthly color. My brother has a heavenly color. Wow. We all need to appreciate that. Oh, okay, thank you. Blue, heavenly. This is the material you need. Heavenly thread. And what is the second color mentioned here? Oh, all of a sudden I'm in Leviticus. Purple. What is the purple color? Kingly, royal color. You have to be heavenly and kingly. Because you're supposed to be a king when the Lord comes back. And the Lord is the king. He's the King of kings. Lord of lords. Well, do you have the purple color? You never even thought about it, right? If I ask you what is your favorite color, you will not say purple. Is that your favorite color? Purple? No, right? Neither is it mine, right? Because we don't have that concept. So if you want to build the true heavenly tabernacle, you need blue and you need the purple. Scarlet, of course, then we have more of the concept of scarlet, which is the color red from the blood. So much scarlet colors, which is very important. Right? Oh, Lord! And then fine linen. Really wonderful. At least these four you should have. And then not only to have this color, for the inside covering of the tabernacle and the veil, then all of this thread has to be embroidered into a beautiful, what? Cherubim. Cherubim of glory. Are you a heavenly artist? If it is me embroidering, it comes out to be a chicken. And maybe if you do it, it becomes a duck, an ugly duckling. And somebody else, maybe if they try to do something, it looks like a crocodile or something. That is why it says it has to be really embroidered by an expert, professional, trained artist. And who do you think is that trained, perfect artist that can embroider such cherubim with all these materials? So you? Me? How about you? No, then who? Then how are we going to build? The Holy Spirit. He's the artist. So, you think we can build such a heavenly tabernacle? Right? We cannot. Just this few materials already shows us we failed. We are not capable. We really need this wonderful Christ. We need God, the architect. We need the Holy Spirit, who's dwelling within us right now, to do this embroidered work. Right. It is not very easy. And then the fine linen. What did the Bible say about the fine linen? The righteous acts of the saints. Easy? How many righteous acts did you do today? Or how many unrighteous acts? The righteous acts. It's not even just the objective. Oh, people say Christ is my righteousness. It's very easy to say that. And as the brother read, and we continue to read the last verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he who knew no sin, he was made sin for us. We always like to stop there and put a period. Right? We always like to quote that verse. Only the first part. How about you? I think we all do, right? Well, how about you? But we always did not continue, or seldom continue, so that we might become the righteousness of God through him. That he who knew no sin became sin for us, that's not a problem. He already did it. But that we will become the righteousness of God through him, that is a long process. Easy to quote a verse. But we should be like Paul, who does not want to be found in his own righteousness. Yeah, many times you are righteous, but self-righteous. That's why you always try to force others and criticize others. Yeah. Because you're self-righteous. The Lord, who is the true righteousness when he was on this earth. Did he always judge everybody when he walks around? Like a machine gun. If you do that, that shows you're very self-righteous. You think you're right. But our Lord, no. The righteousness of God is not like that. So Paul, he did not want to be found in his own righteousness, which is according to the law, but righteousness through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God. I don't want to be right according to my own concept, but to be right according to God. Now, you think it's easy? You have to know him. How many times did God say, no, don't do that, but you still do it? And then when other people do something else, you always complain. Then when God tells you to do something, you don't do it. You do it differently. Whose righteousness is that? So, the fine linen. Not easy to gain this material. So, how much fine linen do we have? And the Lord specified in the scriptures there the measurement of the fine linen. If you just have a little bit, not enough to even cover that. So can we build this tabernacle by ourselves? No. We need to go to him, pay the price. Buy all these materials and say, Lord, I want to gain this material. Give it to me. Give it to us, not for our sake, but for the building up of your heavenly tabernacle. I need more blue thread. If you're especially going to, embroider it into a beautiful cherubim of glory. You need a lot of material. Right. So, may the Lord open your eyes to see now at this point here, what are we building now to finish the job, to have a tabernacle? Because this tabernacle at the same time is the holy priesthood. Because the priestly garment, especially the high priest, his garment is made of the same material. Now you understand why the spiritual house and the holy priesthood are the same. Correspond to each other. Praise the Lord, right? Too much? Too heavenly for you? Is it too difficult? You should say it's impossible, and yet possible, because we have this wonderful God, wonderful Christ, wonderful Holy Spirit. Let us do it with him together. Amen. Let us cooperate with him. Amen. Amen.